You are now experiencing the preaching ministry of Pastor Richard Martin of Life Community Church, located in Arlington, Texas.
We're going to be happy tonight, and we're going to finish up this wonderful series on truth. Truth from some basic things that we have been learning about from the aspect of how we identify ourselves when we say we are a Christian, or what does it mean to be a Christian, to the aspect of the next step, which would be baptism, and today dealing with the truth in regards to sanctification, a big word that people have superly complicated, but we're going to not only simplify its definition, but get a clear understanding of how it works, the concept of how sanctification is supposed to work. On tonight, there's going to be a lot of, I'm sure, comments and conversations, just like with baptism, that speaks about what people's perception of sanctification is as compared to what the Word of God says. And at the end of the day, my goal always is to make sure that we defer back to what God says about what He said, instead of us coming up with what we think He said. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, with that being said, we're going to ask Ms. Kim to open us up in prayer tonight. We're going to jump right into what we need to do.
Lord, bless the person you just asked me to pray. Thank you, Lord, for each and every one that is here and the ones that are on their way, Father. Thank you for this day, and thank you for waking us this morning, Lord. Open up our ears and our hearts, Father, that we may receive the word that is given to Pastor Rich, from you, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right, so, while we are working on computers acting right and video acting, how are we doing with video, Mr. Kennedy?
Well, it just said, now repairing data. Okay, finish that.
Now repairing? That's fine. So let's do a quick reminder. I said some things, and I want to see where we are as far as our knowledge of them. So Keith, what does it mean? Well, how do you respond to somebody that says to you, what does it mean to be a Christian?
You got to tell them that you should be born again.
Scott, say it louder.
You got to tell them that you should be born again.
Just to be born again. And me, what does it mean, or that's a question up here, says, what is baptism? Good evening, folks.
Good evening.
So I wasn't here, but I don't think if I just say my explanation.
Yeah, say your explanation.
So baptism is an outward expression of what you feel on the inside, or your belief in what
you believe in.
Belief in Jesus and what He's done for you.
What did He do for you?
He died on the cross and saved you.
And what else did He do?
And He forgave you. Forgave our sins. And
somebody help her out. You're absolutely right what you're saying. What does baptism symbolize? Anybody?
Renewal, washing away the old and being renewed.
Okay.
It is the symbolic edifying with the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ Jesus.
It is the symbolic
of belief which by we are saved.
Say it loud, Chris.
Whole thing?
Yes, sir.
Okay. It is the physical act of full immersion in a body of water. Baptism is the symbolic identifying with the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ Jesus, the premise of belief by which we are saved.
Okay, y'all got that?
Mm-hmm.
Everything we're saying in regards to the dynamics of baptism, everything that you're saying is correct. But from a biblical standpoint, when we are giving, and let me put this out here again. We are getting some basic information on how we respond to people who don't know. I think a lot of times when we say the things that we say it in the company of people that are saved, and you kind of understand and know what we're talking about. But I want us to get into the practice of when someone asks us a question about what it is to be a Christian, what it is to be baptized, and all of those different things that you hear people ask about, why do you do this, to always give them a biblical response. What does the Bible say about it? And the Bible is not complicated. What does that mean to be baptized? You are identifying with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Why do we do it in that mannerism? Why? Because what we're trying to point people towards is not so much an act or a practice that most people do, be sprinkling or things of that nature. for them to feel like they can get into heaven? Well, let me just ask that question, Keith. If you are baptized, does that guarantee you a place in heaven? Somebody help him out.
No.
What guarantees you a place in heaven?
Accepting Jesus.
Say it with confidence.
Accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior and believing that He died for you.
That's correct. Okay? That's what guarantees you. Getting baptized, when you get baptized, you're doing that why? Three simple words. I'm going to help you. Out of obedience. It's not a have to, it's a get to, and it's a want to. Everybody with me?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
So why should I be baptized? Because you want to be obedient to the example that Jesus set in regards to what it reflected on us. When we identify with His death, burial, and resurrection, we're also receiving the aspect of the transforming work of the Holy Spirit, which we're going to get into today. Yes, ma'am.
Do you have this?
What is
last
that?
Last week? Do you have any more of those?
I think so. I'll get that to you. So everybody, well, we're on the same page. Now, we got in depth in regards to the whole premise of some of the ins and outs of baptism and what people think about baptism and the purpose behind it, but at the very basic form, according to Scripture, baptism is not a have-to, because there have been a number of examples that were pointed out with individuals who were promised the access into heaven because they believed that Jesus was the Christ, the thief on the cross, number one person, right there, day one, did not get baptized. He died, but he died believing that Jesus was who he said he was. So Jesus said, because you believe, you will be with me in paradise.
Right.
Never touched water. Them saw water. So the whole premise of us being baptized is out of obedience to Jesus' example, but it does not gain us any access into heaven or into somebody's church. Yes, ma'am.
So you're baptized out of obedience, but it's not a have to.
That's correct.
Can you explain that again? Because
you're gonna make me explain that again.
I mean,
you should have been here last month.
But I mean, if I'm explaining it to like non-believers, mm-hmm. I can see how that part is confusing.
Why is it confusing?
Because if you say you're obedient, you're doing something.
Because?
Because that's what you're supposed to do.
Oh, I see what it is. So you're thinking that if you're being obedient, you're obeying something somebody told you to do.
Yeah.
But you're saying you don't have to do it. But if you don't have to do it and you don't do it, are you being disobedient?
Let me qualify, you don't have to do it. You don't have to do it because it doesn't gain you access into heaven.
Okay.
And that's that is the reason why most people get baptized.
But you should do it.
Okay.
Out of obedience, because Christ set an example for us, the sinners.
So you shouldn't do it with the thought, I've been baptized, so I know I'm going to heaven.
Girl, sometimes you impress me.
Through with you.
She's putting in language terms.
That's beautiful. But that's the truth.
Okay.
And what we want to do, again, because we're talking about, and that's a great question, we're talking about people who may not really understand certain things, to not confuse them, that's what we want to say. Because most people think like that. If I get baptized, and you know, I'm a good person, I should go to heaven. But I did what I was supposed to do. The thing that you're supposed to do is accept Jesus as your Savior and your Lord. That gets you into heaven. Remember our first lesson. He is the way, the truth, and the life. You don't gain any access to the Father except through Him.
Yes.
Period. We good? All right. Any questions? Any comments? Okay, so I want to talk about sanctification and holiness for a moment. and just kind of get your before we get into what's on the paper, I want to get your thoughts. I want to go around the room and ask, what is sanctification and holiness to you? What is your understanding of it? Keith.
Well, I know sanctification is just being separated, set apart. Holiness. Maybe that's something God, Jesus, is doing with us. The sanctification is just being set apart. I know that one.
Okay.
I'm guessing the holiness.
Okay, appreciate you. Ms. Kim? Now, don't disappoint you, Ms. Kim.
What's the question?
What is sanctification? What is holiness?
Gosh.
Holiness, sanctification.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, you sanctification.
Okay, you want to know what holiness is. Because he gave me sanctification.
I want to know your understanding of what sanctification and holiness is. Keith might be wrong.
Wide open for me.
Give me the Cliff Notes version.
Well, the reason I'm saying that is because I've been told so many different things until it's like, is it this or is it?
Tell me one of the things that you were told.
Being sanctified, what I've been told is to really pretty much follow the Ten Commandments to the T.
That's what you were told?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What is it to be holy, then?
Nothing unwholesome come out of your mouth. You can't do any, if you drink, you can't do well, you can't do all of those things.
All the can't do's.
The can't do's was, which was told to me. If you, she's holding it now. Oh, so she don't do this or she don't do that.
It sounds like they're the same for you.
Pretty much is what I've been told.
Okay.
Sir?
Sanctification, I agree with Keith, being set apart. Holiness is living according to God's instruction living in righteousness, which is right standing with God.
Okay, so with him saying that and what I've said, it sounds to me like the same thing.
Okay. Mr. Kenneth, you got some input on that? Sanctification and holiness, layman's terms, real quick.
Layman's?
Yeah, I know you.
Holy is being set, let's see. From the biblical standpoint of holy, you reverence God, okay? You have to reverence God and respect whatever he says and does by his laws. Not that you follow each one of those laws of Moses, but it's just that it's you respect what he says with reverence.
Yep. Okay.
You know.
Okay. Ma'am?
When I think of sanctification, I think of being cleansed. I don't know who said that, but that's the first thing.
That's a good thought. Okay. Holiness.
And holiness, I guess being more like Christ.
Interesting.
I mean, I don't think anybody can be holy, but, you know, acting.
Okay.
You know, more like Christ.
Okay. That's interesting. Sir?
I think it means to become saved and real within God. Meaning that I'm not sinning.
Say that again.
Not sinning.
Being saved and not sinning?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Good evening, lady. Miss Yolanda, layman's terms.
Sanctification is, to me, like he said, being set apart, but it's a, it is a, the word that he said is just like, consecrating yourself, setting yourself apart and being tagging off of her, cleansing, going through a process of removing yourself from the usual for God to teach you, work with you. Holiness is a lifestyle. It's not, it's something that you have to do every day, walk in holiness and follow the statutes of God and understand what living a saved life is all about. Strive to push and not do sinful things and be sinful ways, but holiness is a lifestyle. You're still set apart when you're in living a holy life.
Interesting. Okay. Excellent. We were just defining, trying to get a definition of what it means to be sanctified, or what sanctification is, and then what holiness is, as far as definition. You guys want to add to it before I get into it? You just don't want to do it.
I don't know
what it says, but I want to repeat. Well, I need to understand where you are, so just take a stab at it.
Okay, so define holiness?
Define sanctification and holiness.
Sanctification, kind of what you're saying, being set apart, taking the form of Christ, and the fact that, you know, blameless, sinless, that you're like God. I just like being like God.
Okay. You want to take a stand at it, Brandon? Not at all.
Yeah.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. So, everybody said correct things and right things insofar as their understanding. Even Ms. Kim, what you say, the bits and pieces that you got insofar as, you know, the commandments and the holier than thou, you don't do this, you don't do that, and all of that. Those, everything that everybody spoke about were elements that incorporate both sanctification and holiness. Sanctification and holiness can be synonymous with each other, but I think, you know, if you're going to just write something down real quick that Mr. Lana said that was kind of interesting, the aspect of sanctification is, you know, God's work in us. Holiness is our work in God. It's the aspect of lifestyle. They're synonymous, but one is the premise of what God does, and then the other side of it, or the flip of the coin, is our response. Mr. Ken gave inference to this aspect of reverence. I don't drink or get drunk because it makes God look bad. I don't use foul language because it's a reflection of something that is not of God. So my behavior, my lifestyle is reflected in what I believe, and what I believe is what happened when I went under. So everything is synonymous with each other. Everything leads into the next thing. Okay, I'm holding.
That's not transformation, though.
What's not?
It don't sound like transformation. You're either... Alright.
I'm not there
yet.
I was
going to ask you this anyway, but we might as well get into it. There's being transformed. Because the story about being a caterpillar, being transformed into a butterfly, the butterfly can no longer live like a caterpillar. That's a transformation. Versus I'm just trying not to do what I used to do. That's not transformation. Because you can't keep doing that.
What is supposed to be transformed? Get out. Oh, you get them. What's transformed? Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be ye transformed by the...
So you can't, in within yourself, make the transformation without it starting first in your mind. Because you said try not to do something. Well, if your mind has not transformed to where...
Alright, the transformation I'm talking about, I may not understand where y'all are going with transformation, but this is the transformation I'm talking about. Like when we were talking about I wasn't really feeling saved until about 5 years after I got baptized or, you know, came to Christ or whatever. Mm-hmm. But we kind of broke that down, and I was saying, well, there was a difference when I went back because I had fear, and before I had no fear. That's a transformation. That's a difference. That's me not being able to go back.
There was something that
to
changed.
Not having yeah. fear.
There was a change up here that changed you in here. So when you went back to think that you could go and do what you were doing before, you realize, wait a minute.
Yeah, because something was, I wanted to go back, but it was like, hold on, man, something is freaking different, and I can't get rid of it. I can't get rid of it. I tried to get rid of it, and I can't. That's a transformation. I tried to go back, and there was something different.
You changed your thinking, too.
Yeah.
Not really.
Yeah, yes, you did. Yeah.
Okay, well, maybe something was seeded that I couldn't
let's
say.
Let's start. Let's get into it, Keith. You're right. If anyone is in Christ, if anyone is in Christ,
he is a new creation.
Okay. So if you're in Christ, whether you feel like it, whether you look like it, whether things haven't necessarily changed, if you are in Christ, finish the sentence. You are a new creation. You are a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. What is this a statement of? There's two dynamics in this reading of this scripture. Statement?
The rebirth?
It represents that. It represents that. You're born again. The transformation is one that is physical?
Mm-hmm. Spiritual.
Spiritual. Mm-hmm. It's a spiritual transformation. Where does it happen?
Immediately.
You're born again. Your spirit man is dead to any connection or relationship or whatever with God through Jesus Christ. And when Jesus shows up in your life, you believe his death, burial, and resurrection. When you believe that, you have been born again. Spiritual. It's immediate. Your spirit man is already now ready to make that full contact with God who created you. Right?
Yeah.
But there's something else going on. What else is going on?
Old habits die hard.
Old habits die hard. That's good, Keith. What are you fighting against? Your flesh. The way I used to do, because all I've been filling my head and my heart with is how I used to get down.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But your spirit man is saying you ain't got to get down like that no more. But in order for him to manifest the transformation that you have received on the inside, you have to start making some physical acts to identify with Christ whom just renewed you. First thing you do is get baptized. You don't have to, but you do it as a public display of what has happened on the inside. Are y'all tracking? See, that's the first thing. It's a you make that decision to do that. You don't do it because you're trying to, yes, it's washing, and yes, it's a good, but what you're saying is, I am now identifying with the death, burial, and resurrection of me, just like Christ did. I have died to the old self. As the scripture says, I'm a new creature. You can't see it on it. You can't see it, but I'm going to tell you it is. I'm going to show you that it is by this identification. Now, how do I, now I got to walk it out. This change on the inside, now I have to walk it out, which means that there's some things that have to change with me physically, flesh, in terms of my lifestyle, in terms of my behavior, in terms of my doing. So you know what? For a minute, you weren't getting the information to, this is what you do now, Keith, to start changing your thinking. You may have not gotten that. All you may have gotten is a whole bunch of do's and don'ts. And you were like, I ain't doing that right now. That was a decision. I ain't doing that right now. I'm good where I'm at.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
This is a decision that you made. And at some given point, 5 years later, I don't know what God did or what he put in you or who you came across that fed you your spirit to say, when you went out there this time, it's kind of like, man, I could lose my life doing this. Mm-hmm. Something yeah. in me is, this, I'm not comfortable with doing this.
You didn't think about that before.
Yeah.
And whatever else is our story or our journey, and watch this. The whole premise of sanctification, so let's get into this on your paper. You got three scriptures. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 is the first read that we had here. 2 Thessalonians 2:13 says this, but we should always give thanks to God for you. Brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. 1 Peter 1, 1 and 2. This is a continued thought, so this is the second portion of that reading. Who has chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father by the sanctifying work of the Spirit to obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with his blood. May grace and peace be yours in the fullest measure. What is sanctification? Sanctification in layman's terms is this, guys. The state of proper functioning. This is what can be called the generic meaning of sanctification. Because we're dealing with people that we want to convey this information to who may not know, but they're hearing this word and they have all of these concepts from different Christians about what it is and what it's not. First, let's give them what they can understand. The generic term is, it's a state of proper functioning. The state of proper functioning, we'll talk about that a little bit more. To sanctify someone or something is to set that person or thing apart for the use intended by its designer. Many of you have said being sanctified or sanctification is being set apart. But y'all didn't say the second part of that. As a believer, you're sanctified for a purpose.
You're supposed to write that down?
If you want.
No, I thought, does it go here?
Yeah. Question, what is it to be sanctified?
Okay.
Yeah, cool. So let's simplify this for us. This is a, come on, y'all help me out.
Ink pen.
Yeah, okay, Mr. Kim. It's an ink pen. What is an ink pen for?
Writing.
For writing. What is, the designer designed this ink pen to do what?
To write. To give ink.
To give ink for the purpose of?
Writing.
Okay. Writing. Can this ink pen be used for something else other than writing?
Yes, it can.
Yo, thanks, Keith. So I could use this and stab her.
Yeah.
Yes, you could.
Yeah. I could use this. I could take it apart and use portions of it as a toothpick.
Or a trach.
Yeah. Okay. But the designer did not design this to be a trach or a toothpick or a knife. He designed this to dispense ink for writing. Now, that's what he designed it for. But it would not be sanctified until what?
Until its proper function.
Until it's being used for what it was created
right.
for.
Mm-hmm.
Are y'all tracking?
Wait, can you say that one thing?
Huh?
Can you say that last part of that? Use. It's not until it's used.
For what it's created for or its intended purpose. The designer created the ink pen to dispense ink for writing.
Right.
But it's not set apart for that until it's used for that. So I can set this apart and set it down, but that doesn't mean that, according to our definition, so that everybody's tracking,
right.
I can set it apart and say, okay, I don't want that to be a part of any of those pens. Hold that. But until it's used for its intended purpose, it's not sanctified yet.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Are y'all tracking? Because we're going somewhere with this. Because
right.
many of us think that our sanctification is just based upon us being Christians or believers. But it's deeper than just being set apart. Yes, we are set apart. But we're set apart to do something. Mm-hmm. To live a particular way. Is that mm-hmm. making sense?
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yes.
Or to do a certain work.
It develops into that, Keith.
It develops into that.
Yeah.
So we're not truly sanctified until we reach that level. Is that what you're saying?
No. We're not sanctified until we start functioning the way God intended for every Christian to function. Not the specific assignment, because not everybody's called to be a pastor, not everybody's called to be whatever.
Okay.
But we all are called, watch this, to live holy.
Right.
Which is the lifestyle side of sanctification.
I always thought sanctification only came when you die.
Now that just threw one wrench.
Sure.
I'm sorry.
No. That's good.
I always.
Everybody. Oh, okay.
Yeah, but tell me, where did you hear that from?
I've never heard that.
No, because I guess I always felt like sanctification was like perfection, and the only way we would be perfect is when we die and go to Him. So there's no way that we can be sanctified through this life, because everywhere we turn, we're faced with sin, and we're just sinful by nature. So. Now I'm getting understanding, because I really thought that sanctification was only coming through death.
I'm going to give you another word.
Okay.
A better word. Perfection. when we die, we are now perfect.
Yeah. Because it's complete. Perfection is completion.
Okay. Got it?
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? We have so many, as believers, we have so many concepts. It's easy for us to get lost, and it can frustrate us as believers, because when people come to us with questions, if we're not confident in what we know, we're not going to share it. And if we don't share it, how will they know unless they have a preacher?
Right.
It's not the guy at the pulpit. It's us. And if we don't know what we're supposed to know, how are they going to know what the truth is, which is what we've been talking about? Is everybody good? Any other questions or comments in regards to this so far? Yes, ma'am.
So to be sanctified, is that like, I don't want to say mandatory, but is that like what you're supposed to be?
Sanctification. To sanctify someone or something is to set that person or thing apart for the use intended by its designer. Who's your designer?
God.
Okay. What did he intend for you to do? Yeah, let's simplify. We just said it. One word. To live. One word.
Holy.
We're going to get into that.
Okay.
You, her, you, him, me, you, him, her, him, her. I'm looking at him thinking about that. That's a whole nother. We are to live holy. That's how our designer created us to be. Mm-hmm. Our holiness or our lifestyle ought to be the same. Do you understand what I mean by the same?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Do you understand what I mean with our living holy means that we ought to be the same?
We ought to live.
The same as who?
That's why I'm saying, y'all should know me enough to know. Go ahead.
We're not doing that. That might be the goal, but we ain't doing that.
Okay. I like you. I like you. Well, Mr. Kennedy, you had your little L up for
it. Well, it from the world, saint. The only saints they know are dead saints. Okay?
Different
thing.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And so that's why a lot of people get the idea about it. Sanctification, you got to be a saint. And every saint that they know has to die before the Catholic Church says they're sanctified.
Yeah, that's where I get it from.
See, I thought she was Catholic. I thought she wasn't. To where they, you know, you can't get sanctification. Maybe you can't go to sainthood until after you're dead. Mm-hmm. And two miracles or three miracles are performed, you know, something like that.
Let me move ahead. Yes, so I get you on that, but that's not true.
Yeah.
So biblical definition of this word sanctification is a human being is sanctified when he or she is set apart and lives according to God's design and purpose. What is God's design and purpose for every believer, every born-again believer, is for them to live, one word.
Oh, holy.
All right.
On to to glorify him.
That's a specific. That's a definitive.
Okay.
Anything and everything that you and I do
has to be for him.
It is all about him. Yes, ma'am. Okay, moving forward. Jesse. Sorry.
Is there a space for that biblical definition?
Yeah.
If he does, right somewhere. Put it in your book. So everybody understand that. It's not just being set apart. We good? That's not a complete definition. It's being set apart for the purpose of our designer, who is God. And God has designed us to live holy.
Right.
Is that making that connecting? Now, somebody, can I go ahead now?
Yeah.
My head on. All right. So some more definitions in terms of the Greek word translated sanctification. I'm not going to say that word. It's not really. It means holiness in the Greek. Mm-hmm. To make one holy or separate for use of or use for or use as.
So sanctification and holiness
are synonymous.
Okay.
One is what God's work is designed for us, and then us acting it out. Are y'all tracking?
Mm-hmm.
I made you to be this way. Will you please do what I made you to be? And I made you to be?
Holy.
Come on, y'all. Okay, another word for a holy person is a saint. Forget what you learned in regards to any other denomination, because it's not scriptural.
Right.
It's a simple word. A saint basically means a sanctified one. One who is who has been made separate and apart for God's design and work. You are Saint Shana. Now you are Saint Shana.
Mm-hmm.
Are y'all tracking?
Yes, Saint Pastor.
Rich.
Right. It's not, okay, so let me just throw this out here as a monkey wrench, and people like monkey wrenches. Being a saint is not a title.
Yeah.
What is it? Say it louder.
A lifestyle.
It's how you live. Your sainthood is how you live. It's not a title.
So Saint Christopher wasn't a saint?
I don't know. I say that because I don't know his relationship with Jesus Christ. Listen to me. Just because you're in a denomination doesn't mean that you're in sin. Okay?
Say that again.
Just because you're in a denomination doesn't mean that you're in sin. It just means that you may have some misinformation. You may have. Doesn't mean that God can't get to you and give you clarity while you're in the denomination.
So, are people saying that, like, in the Bible, when there are people that they would say that they were, like, men of war, were they still considered sanctified? Even though they
what
were
part of the Bible are we talking about?
Like in the Old Testament, when they called them like men of war, where they couldn't build temples because they were men of war and they shed blood, were they still considered sanctified even though they were shedding blood and men of war?
Yeah, that was their purpose.
Dispensation.
Come on. Okay. I was waiting for my students to jump in here. There's a reason why we learned about dispensation. See, there was a particular time and period of knowledge that God dispensed for his people at a particular time with what he gave them. That's what they were responsible for. During that time, there was no talk of sainthood or anything of that nature, because that wasn't the dispensation that they were living in.
Okay.
They were in the dispensation of law. So no, if you were a man of bloodshed and things of that nature, no, David couldn't build the temple because it represented something holy. And God at that time in dispensation was like, love you, man, but you can't do this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Different time. Dispensation.
Got it.
Okay. Good question. Anybody else? All right, moving forward. Keith, you good? Can I go?
Yeah.
All right. Okay, so I just want y'all to look at this for a minute. These are all scriptures I want y'all to read in context. But Matthew 5:48. Be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Leviticus 11:44, I am the Lord your God. Consecrate yourselves and be holy, because I am holy. Somebody said, well, you can't be holy because we're full of sin. Somebody said that. But God just declares, be holy, for I am holy. And he just said that. This is scripture. So that means you can be holy. Because God said, I'm holy.
I'm holy, sinner.
Love your face. Tell me why that face. Maybe it's this question. How can we be made holy like God is holy?
Yeah. There's only one other one that's perfect.
Yeah, right.
And he's the only one that's perfect.
Okay, huh?
Holiness isn't being perfect.
What is it?
You stepped in it.
In the scale.
And you know the answer.
Driving.
Okay, maybe I'm getting
what
too
God.
Wordy.
No, you're not.
Doing what God called us to be. But God doesn't call us to be perfect. Like we're human and sin.
We're striving.
Let's get a little deep here. When you deal with certain words in Scripture, certain words that we recognize as perfect, meaning the completion, which we were saying before, when you look at it in its original text, it actually has another. It's an actual a different word.
Okay.
So this word here, perfect.
It's
be perfect.
Right.
It means holy.
Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's why we have to study, because there's some things that kind of throw us off. And we have to be clear, okay, what does he mean? I can't be perfect. There's no way. The other thing in here, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. This is the identification. Well, how can the Father in heaven be my Father? How can the Father in heaven be your Father? How does that work? Okay. You need something deeper. He made you, he made the killer in death row too. So what's the difference between you and him? Say it louder.
Because I accepted him as my father.
You accepted him as your father, or what did you accept?
Oh, Jesus.
As?
My Lord and Savior.
High five. Okay. Because no one comes to the Father except
through the Son,
through Jesus. Okay. So we have every opportunity to walk out this lifestyle of holiness and to be holy like God is holy. Okay, so let's talk about God and his holiness. Let's talk about that.
Who do you want to start?
Walk out our purpose, okay. Holy is still throwing my mind off, so I'm just going to have to change it to walk out my purpose.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah, that's cool.
So if you're walking out your purpose, and that means that you are being holy, how is God holy?
He's doing his purpose.
Okay, thank you, Keith. Moving on. Okay. We complicate stuff.
Yeah.
There's no one like God. Why is that? Because God does only what God can do. Oh, okay. God is holy. We know that there's no sin in him. We know that he doesn't do any wrong. We know that everything that God does is right. But what makes God holy is that God is God.
God is perfect. God is right.
God is God. He is who he is. What does he call you to be?
Like him.
Made to.
Like him. That's all good. But say that.
He
told you, be who I made you to be. Don't be all of this other stuff that you find yourself in terms of your lifestyle trying to be, to try to fit in, to try to... Don't be who I made you to be. Be holy as I am holy. I am who I am. I'm not trying to be nothing else. I'm God. What was Satan's problem?
He wanted to be like God, which wasn't God's purpose for him.
Oh, wow, mind blown.
I heard
your answer, but I knew your question.
I'm not going to repeat it.
Yes,
my question was, what was Satan's problem?
Mine's like, oh.
Your mind is blown? What?
Yeah.
But that's real, right?
Oh, shoot. Keith, you just like soaked it up. Just like dropped the mic. Loved it.
What did I say?
I said, what was Satan's problem?
Yeah.
Satan wanted to be like God, which was not his purpose in God.
He was trying to be something he was not designed or created to be.
Which was stupid to me. When I actually started thinking about it, I was like, you're stupid. There's no way I want the responsibility or the weight that's on God's shoulders. So you might have been the archangel, but that was good.
Okay, we can rabbit trap for a minute. What was Satan's, why did Satan want to be like God? What was his issue?
Praise.
Yeah.
Jealous.
He was jealous. Yeah.
Jealous.
Yeah, we know that was the act, but he was being, what was his purpose?
He wanted everybody to praise God, to serve God, to bring in and usher in, worship God, and praise God.
From our layman's terms thinking, Satan, before Satan, the accuser, he was Lucifer, son of the morning.
Uh-huh.
His body was the instrument by which praise traveled
through
to the throne of God. Mm-hmm. And he started feeling himself.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It was that trumpet.
Yes. Like I said, Kim. But y'all see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, you know, We say pride. I mean, how many of us have found ourselves prideful and feeling ourselves about what we accomplished or what we did and not giving acknowledgement that God put that in us to do that? If it wasn't for him, we wouldn't even be doing it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to just take it upon myself. I'm just doing myself because look how great I am. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess I did that.
Yeah. I mean, we all have done that, dude.
Yeah.
So the issue is, this issue of holiness is not about just being clean and just not sinning is that, you know what, I don't sin because a part of the design that God has for me doesn't give room for that.
You said you don't sin.
No, hear what I'm saying. In my thinking, because okay. I'm talking about a renewed mind.
Okay.
I'm not saying, because just like Peter said in 1 Peter, if you sin, you're not of God. But he says, but we do sin. Right. And to say that you don't sin, you're a liar. So what is he saying? Is he confused? No, he's saying recognize that there's a change in your thinking that must happen to where, as Paul said in Romans chapter 7, there's two different natures and laws at work, and I have to make a choice. And then he goes in Romans 8:1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who are not led according to their flesh, but according to the
Spirit. So as you grow, all right, you start off as a new Christian, you don't know nothing, you're still wilding out. So as you grow and you say, you hear the word of God, you grow past one sin. I guess you choose not to do that no more, but you still got 10 others that you're doing. And then slowly you grow.
You got to change. You got to change your mind because you're still on that, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this. And you got to flip it to, I get to do this. I get to do that. I get to save myself from marriage.
Yeah.
About wills and wants.
Yeah. Okay. I was just about to say, what was that?
That's not your desire yet. Because I mean, it's some stuff that's not my desire yet.
Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That way, when you do that, I'm paraphrasing now, you will know what God's perfect will is for your life. How do I know what God's will is for my life? How do I find that out?
His word.
His word.
His holy.
Faith comes by
hearing.
And hearing by the
word of God.
So my faith in how I'm supposed to live holy comes by me constantly filling my mind with the word and then living out the understanding that I have been given by the Holy Spirit and by examples of people that are consistent in their living, so that I don't have to think, well, I don't want to do that, but I don't have to do that.
Well, I'm still not there yet. I'm here, I do this is my lifestyle, but I'm still not there yet. That's why I'm asking you these questions, you know what I'm saying? Do we grow to that?
Yes, of course. How does a child know when the stove is hot?
Put his hand on
he
it.
He touches it and burns. He may not get a burn, but he gets that first sensation that tells him that this act is not good anymore.
Yeah.
Did he just grow?
Yep.
Did he just grow?
Yeah.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. Because now he knows if I touch that, there's a sensation that I don't want anymore. Can you think a kid every time he sees that stove, he's like, he just recognizes down he have to deal with that. He's like, nah, I ain't even thinking about that.
Yeah, but like there are things in this world that bring you pleasure even though they're wrong. And you might still want that pleasure even though you know that's wrong.
Be ye transformed. So watch this, kid. Did you play sports?
Swimming.
You swam. What's the first thing you had to do when you got the whole get into the swimming thing?
What did you do?
You have to jump in the water.
But how many times do you have to jump in the water?
Oh yeah, we swim every day, like 2 hours a day.
Every day. When is that called?
Practice.
Moving on. You understand what I'm saying?
I see.
Holiness is a lifestyle. Lifestyle. If you're alive today, how should you live? Holy. How do you do that?
Practice.
When?
Every day.
All the time. Practice holy. Mm-hmm.
All the time. Yeah. Every day. Now, this is what he's thinking right now. But we don't do that every day. You are right. So what's missing?
The word.
Word every day.
See, because I have to make a choice.
Daily bread.
I have to make a choice. The reason why we are not robots is because God loves us so much that he wants us to choose him.
Right.
Choose his way of living. Why? Because he's designed me that way. See, our problem is we don't think that we're good enough to be what God created us to be. And that comes from, there's a whole bunch of stuff that happens in life that the enemy brings our way to convince us that we are not good enough. We can be Christians and things happen and we convince ourselves for one reason or another, I know God loves me, but what have I just done? I've made a choice or a decision to do something that's contrary to God's word. I may know it, I may not know it, but the bottom line is I made a choice. And God is not beating us over our heads, recognizing that sometimes we're going to make bad choices. If you have ever made a bad choice after being a Christian, raise your hand. Now, let's be transparent. How many of you have made some really bad choices after being a Christian? Raise your hand. How many of you have made bad choices and you knew what God wanted you to do and you still did what you wanted? You still made the bet. Raise your hand. Okay. So, here's the point I'm making. It's all about, put your hand down.
Oh.
Thank you, Miss Kim. I'm so glad you're back. God gives us the choice to do so because he knows I designed you a particular way. You're going to be what I created you to be.
You do something.
Some of my issue with what I'm learning is it's almost like some of the scriptures are talking out of both sides of their mouth. It's either you and follow me. It's either you, God, changing me and completing this work in me,
mm-hmm.
or it's going to be me having to do something that gets this done. It's one or the other, but it seems like pastors say both, and it's like you're talking out of both sides of your mouth.
Stay right there, Keith. I love you, Keith. Let's talk about that. Sanctification. We are to be made holy. How are we to be made holy? God said through Peter in this scripture, and these scriptures, I can write them down, but they should be on your paper somewhere. Yes, it should be on your paper.
That's
you can you see it?
That's fine, though.
Okay, it says God... It's on your paper. It's just me.
No?
No.
Not at all.
Not
1 Peter 3:15.
Maybe in the back?
No.
Good. This is not good. Let me see your paper. Probably. Okay, follow me. Don't worry about this. I'm going to tell you this. Okay, so how are we to be made holy or sanctified? First, God said through Peter, in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. That's the first point. Write that down somewhere. So it's a decision that you've already made to set apart Christ as Lord. What does setting apart Christ as Lord mean? Don't complicate this.
Because I love business. I see it as... He's like my CEO. Whatever I do, I go through him before I make a decision. So that's how I set apart.
Okay. So first thing about being holy, setting apart Christ, letting him be the boss.
Yeah.
Okay. That's what his being Lord means, is that whatever he says,
yeah,
goes.
Anytime I don't do it, I mess up.
But it says in your heart. Yeah. So there's a commitment that you have to make. It's like kind of like marriage.
Yeah.
I can't just do this in my head. I gotta.
I'm sorry. That's really loud. But then we just talked about that yesterday.
Yeah,
we just talked about that.
Look, the Spirit is confirming whatever y'all talk about. Yeah. That y'all let us in.
No, we were saying that because we were talking about marriage, and I was like, what people don't realize is that when you're single, you're married to someone, and that someone is Christ. So you can't do anything with anyone else because you're already in a marriage with someone else. So it's like, that's how you need to look at it.
Okay, but that's a whole other lesson. We're going to get too deep into
that.
But that's cool. All right, so sanctify in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. He's got to be Lord. So this is not just, you know, well, the word says that God's going to help me and then I got to do my part. First, I have to understand the relationship. Remember, it's not religion, it's relationship. That means that there's a person that plays their part and I play my part. Are you tracking, Steve, so far? All right, let's keep moving. Sanctify also is a synonym for trusting and obeying the Lord. What am I trusting and obeying? What did the Lord give me to have to follow, trust and obey?
Mm-hmm.
His word. So I set apart him as Lord of my life. He's my boss. But my boss has to tell me what I need to do. What is he telling me how to live? What is he telling me that? In the word. So when I'm running into one of those scenarios where I'm having to make a decision on how I'm going to live in those pleasurable situations. Hello? Yeah. You gotta make it plain. In those situations where, like, you know, I can do this and this feels good, I have a choice to make. What did the Lord say about me doing this? We're laughing, but no, you know what? We don't ask that question because we convince ourselves, listen, God understands. He knows I'm struggling with this right now. And he knows that you're struggling with it, but he said, be holy, for I am holy. He said that too. So it's a decision that I have to make. Where am I going to be? Am I going to be mature in this and step into the spirit-led dynamic, or am I going to stay in my flesh? And sometimes we stay in our flesh. That's just the truth.
Yeah.
Right. So I got it, and not getting too deep in so far as how you get back, the bottom line is if we confess our sins, I'm missing the mark. The word said this, and put me on target, but I missed it. He is faithful and just. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from even the stuff that you hadn't even figured that you were about to do in this whatever. He cleanses you from all of that. When you confess, God, I'm so sorry.
Okay,
I ain't finished. You asked the question, I'm going to finish this.
Okay,
so we ultimately, watch this now. Ultimately, we cannot sanctify ourselves. We don't set ourselves apart.
Right.
Who does that?
He does.
The triune God sanctifies.
Wait.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when you call yourself separated, you're separating people?
No. That's not what. It was kind of like the word thing, but again, I'm going to stop being so wordy.
What do you mean?
Because I thought it said to set yourself apart. To set yourself apart. I thought it was saying to set yourself apart.
Here's the definition.
No, in the word, in the scripture, not the definition, the scripture. I thought it was like, in your heart set up. Okay, never mind.
Don't, what did it say? You used this word before, which I thought was awesome. It's a C word.
Consecrate
yourself.
Okay.
What does that mean?
To go into God, into your word, go into prayer, and you're not doing everyday usual things because you have to go through a cleansing with God through the Spirit.
You consecrate yourself. It's a form, an act of dedication to the sanctification process that he does.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I didn't make sense.
No, but that, like, it kind of like brought it all home.
You are you serious? You
know, you make sense.
You know what? Anyway. The scriptures to back up everything that's up here. So y'all want y'all to read that context. If the Father sanctifies by the Spirit. When do you get the Spirit? When do you get God's Spirit?
When?
When you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. When do you start listening to the Spirit?
Later.
Why do you say that? He's right.
When you learn his voice.
How do you learn his voice?
Conviction.
No. Well,
like, well, what you read in his word and understand what's right and wrong.
What is the Spirit's job?
Confirm.
Remind me what Jesus said.
Are you guessing?
Yes.
What? Confirm what? I'll go with that. Confirm what?
What's in the word?
I like that. Say what you said, Keith.
Said right. To remind us what Jesus said.
To remind us what Jesus said. What did Jesus say? He said a lot of stuff. But what a lot of his speaking was about what? I'm going to help you out. Kingdom living.
Wait a minute. So the Holy Spirit only confirms the New Testament? No, because you were like, only what Jesus said. So I'm like, you know how like he had...
No, you know what? That's a good question. Because somebody who's out there may ask that. Let's go back.
Because I know he's the helper.
Wait. In the beginning was the
Word.
Capital W. And the Word was
God.
Was with God.
God.
And the Word
was God.
He was with God, the Father, in the beginning. Who was he?
Jesus.
Okay. Does God predate the Old Testament?
Yes.
Where did the Old Testament come from?
God.
So the Old Testament is God's Word?
Yes.
Who was with God in the beginning?
Jesus. Again.
Just trying to help you out there.
Thanks.
You can't be limited to Jesus, the man made flesh.
Yes.
God.
Okay.
So even the aspects and elements that are in the Old Testament, they were a foreshadowing of what he was wanting us to live, and he manifested himself to show us how to live kingdom in the New Testament.
Okay.
So it's, all of it is relevant. Joseph's favorite scripture in Matthew, where it speaks about all of this is summed up in two commandments. Actually, one that's broken into two parts. What is that?
Love God, love the prophets. Love your neighbor as you love yourself.
We list all of the law and prophets, the word in the Old Testament, and the prophets who prophesied about the coming of Jesus. All of it is summed up in these two, this commandment that's broken down into two things. Love God with everything that you are and everything that you have and everything that you will be, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. Okay, does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So, where are we? Okay, so by the Spirit, by the sanctified, by the Spirit, and in the name of Christ, in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Anointed One. Why is it in the name of Jesus and not in the name of anybody else? This is easy.
That's the only way to get through the...
Okay, you were about to say, I thought you were about to say the right thing. Because it's the only way, what?
To the Father.
I just said that.
Then you didn't finish it.
I said to the Father.
Isn't
he the Father?
Yes.
He kind of hesitated, though.
I'm sorry. I'm hesitated.
All right. Since we have these promises, dear friends, in 2 Corinthians 7 and 1, I want you to watch this. Let us purify ourselves. That's consecration. From everything that contaminates body and spirit, little s. Perfecting or mastering or developing in our lives holiness out of reverence for God. Didn't say that. So I respect God. How do I do so? He said something to do. That's what I do. I'm being obedient to his word. I consecrate myself because, you know, sometimes it ain't easy.
You just flat out don't do it.
Well, it's sometimes it ain't easy. Kid, you just said that. There's some things that I want to do. Come on now.
No, but it's
well,
true.
It's, right?
Yeah.
So there's some of those things that I'm consecrating myself, and I'm saying, Lord, I'm gonna need you here.
Yeah.
And so well, I'm to be there one day, but I'm not there like that.
Okay. Well,
and I keep it real with him. But I'll talk to you.
Keep moving.
Yeah.
So when you get ready to do something wrong, you don't feel something.
It's a done deal. If I know I've done it in my heart, I'm gonna do it. It's a done deal. Yep. But you got me, right? That's the way I feel with God. It's burnt. I'm like, you either got me or you ain't got me, God. Because you exist outside of time.
Right.
So from the beginning, I'm wherever I'm going. Because you're outside of time. This time thing is just for us to walk from the beginning to the end. But you're Alpha and Omega. You're already there. So I'm already there.
But God has declared that his desire is to be with you, people. Yeah, he's outside of time. And him being with you
so
is so that...
You're going to fix this, right? You're going to help me fix this. That's what I'm saying. I'm there.
And
so
he says,
I have helped you fix it.
I have helped you fix the key, but you're not taking the time to figure out, to stop making excuses for what you're doing, to find out how I want you to live.
I know. I already know how you want me to live.
How do you know?
You have to help me with that part.
What part?
With what I got to do.
What do you have to do?
Because, I mean, like I said, if it's a done deal, if I know, like, look, I don't feel like I'm changing this area, so I'm not going to take the funk with you. I'm going to keep it real.
Okay, that's honest. I don't feel like I'm changing this area. I'm not going to fake it with you, God. I'm not strong in this area.
Yeah.
What is God's response to you about you not being strong in a particular area?
I have no idea.
That's what he's trying to get you to see, Keith. Find out. Instead of making excuses, well, you just know, and you know what, whatever's going to happen is going to happen. Because as soon as you walk into that, you stepped into your flesh, and that is Satan territory.
Right.
Wow.
You feel me? The moment that you say it's going to be what it's going to be, you're making a decision to not operate in the spirit by finding out what God would want you to do, and you're operating in your flesh, and as soon as you do that, you step into Satan's realm. And right now, he's still the prince of the power of the air. God still has given him
some
power to operate with people who refuse to be obedient. This issue of Romans 1, well, if they keep doing stuff, I give them over to this reprobate mind. This mind that says, it's okay. It's okay to be gay. It's okay to do this. It's okay to do that. Why? Because you're not looking at my word of how I designed you to be, and you're refusing to look at it, so I have no choice but to let you go with what you want to go with, because you are not going to be a robot. I don't make you do nothing, Keith. I want you to want me.
Yeah.
I want you to want my word. But it's a choice based on relationship.
Yeah, it's the choice.
And commitment. And anything else that you say, because God, if you made me to be holy, then I can be holy. Because he's God, and he don't make mistakes.
Yeah, but I don't feel like that. I don't feel like I can do that.
Okay. Okay. And I say, okay.
You have to make the choice within yourself.
Because you can
do it.
It's
not just all God. It's a
choice. Every day. Can do Philippians, we don't have to go deep. Philippians 4:13.
I can do all things.
Yeah. Now see, this is what happens. We emphasize we can do all things. No. I can do all things through Christ.
Yeah.
That is the aspect of how I do this lifestyle thing the way God wants me to be holy. It's through Christ. So when I say I can't do it, it's only because I'm not doing it through Christ. I'm doing it through me.
Yeah.
And I recognize, like you recognize, I recognize my limitations. I recognize my cans and cannots. Sometimes I scrub it and I'll be like, nah, I got this. And then the enemy, because I'm in my flesh, he's like, yeah, you think you got it, but watch this.
Right.
And see, that's when you dig deeper, because if you say I can do all three, if his word says I can do all three things through Christ, then you have to dig deeper and go somewhere else and see all the things that God can do. And it's like you dig deeper. I just know because that's Troy Jr.'s scripture, and he loves that scripture. But it's like for me, I had to explain to him all the things that he could do. And then once you see, okay, these are all the things you can do, it doesn't matter whatever, it's going to be hard. What you're talking about is the action of it when you're in the midst of it to physically get out, to physically not do something. I deal with anxiety and all that stuff, and to physically be in it and to get out, it's like an everyday thing. I have to deal with it all the time. But I really have to say, there is no way that I can stop picking myself. There's just no way. I can't do it. But I know, yeah. I can't do it, but I know one who can do it, so I'm going to have to lean on him, and it's not easy. Every day I fall short. Sometimes I pick, sometimes I don't. But when I don't pick, it's because I literally have to focus on him.
Right. And that's the choice that we make.
Yeah.
Romans 6:15.
What does it say?
What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourself slaves to obey, you are the one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or obedience leading to righteousness.
You could keep going on, but that's, and it's a, we're choosing, it's a choice. I hear what you're saying, Keith, but to say I can't do it is to say God is a liar.
Yeah, but you can't do all.
Because he's declared what you can do based upon how he's designed you. Now, I know that there's intricacies, so I'm not here to knock the challenges on our individual lives and things that we find ourselves struggling with. But the issue of our struggle is James chapter 1, the aspect of our desires. We're led astray by our own desires. And we read that and it's like, oh, this is the bad stuff. No, sometimes the desires that I have that are not bad is still not necessarily holy or godly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Mm-hmm.
Are you tracking?
Mm-hmm.
I desire this house, or I did, and God is like, that's not going to do anything for the way that I designed you to live and to be and to do. You just want that, and you're going to do everything in your power to get that, so now that's become your God and your idol. Sometimes our own ego, our own I can't, becomes God.
Mm-hmm.
make me go deep. But that's real.
True. I know as I've matured throughout the years growing up in church, you go through a lot of things. But as a maturation, I used to hear the mothers of the church say, when they got to a certain point of maturing in God and allowing Him to perfect them, that sin became as a stench in God's nostrils to them. So it got to a point where even the thought of sin just made you sick to your stomach, just because you knew that God wasn't pleased with the thought, or if the thought is where the act eventually follows. Yeah. So you have to cast down those thoughts. So then you've got to do what she said, immediately go to God. But when you get to the point where after, I'm just speaking from experience, when you get to the point where after you've done what you know God didn't want you to do, and you start to have physical responses to it, God is working with you, but it's up to you to give in to that and don't find yourself there. And then once you get to a point that the thought of it even makes you, then you're where God needs you to be, because when He sees it and He sees what you're getting ready to do, He goes, ugh. And you got to just put your thought process there.
And that goes by what you know He would want you to do and how He would want you to be, based upon how He created you to be holy as He is holy.
Yes, sir.
What you sound like people are
making. I think you let me go a little bit already. Mm-hmm. I don't feel bad about it no more. I used to. I don't feel bad about it no more. It's like, whatever. I'm going to do what I do.
But you're making, you said it's in your heart to do it. It's in your heart. Then you're going to do it. So you're making that stronger than God's word.
Yep. You're making that Lord. But the first thing of you becoming sanctified is in your heart, set Christ apart as Lord. So whatever you're saying, yo, I'm just going to do whatever I'm going to do. I ain't got no feeling towards it. Then it becomes your God.
Yeah.
It becomes your Lord. You do what it's, your desire for it becomes what controls you.
Yeah.
Your thermostat. Sin. Which leads, the scripture said, you just read it, what God said, it leads to death. Maybe not naturally, but in your spirit. Something's died where you saying that I don't even have any feelings towards that. I'm just going to do it. That's died in you. And God is like, no, we need to bring that back, because there can only be one Lord in Keith's life, because He belongs to me. I need Keith to see that. I'm not going to force him, but I need him to see this. So I'm going to keep hitting him with my word, which is the truth, so that if he makes the decision to keep doing, he's rejecting the truth, and I'm going to have to give him over to that mindset, and then he becomes subject to whatever it is the enemy's going to do to him. I don't want that for him. I'm pleading with him by my spirit, don't go there, but if you ain't trying to hear me, I'm going to let you do what you do. Not because I don't love you, but because I'm going to stay true to my word. So when you go through whatever you go through after the decision that you made, you cannot say it's because you didn't know. Because you are accountable for the word that you know.
Right.
All of us.
And
I'll just say this. Because when I say stuff like that, it's kind of like, you know, God's going to beat me over the head. No, it's not about that. He's trying to redeem us.
Yeah.
He's trying to create in us, that my sister said, a desire so much for Him, that when we consider certain things that we used to do or want to do or desire to do, that it just doesn't sit right. I don't feel good about that. Even though I used to want that, and I may even have traces of thought, but it's just not sitting right in me. It's just not right. And that's what God wants us to get to. You may not be there right now. That's fine, Keith. But don't throw your hands up and say, well, it's never going to happen, because that would be lying on God.
Mm-hmm.
And it can happen, because you talk about Him, He's outside of time. That means he already knows what Keith is capable of and what Keith will accomplish if Keith stays his course in terms of the word. He knows already. But he also knows, well, Keith decides to do something different. I know that track too. I know how I'm going to get him back if he does. But he's got to listen to me, and we got to be able to relate. Because I'm not going to make you do anything, bro.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to want me in that particular area of struggle to help you. Because I've already sent my spirit to do so. This scripture here in 2 Corinthians 7:1, where it speaks about this aspect of let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. If you go back to chapter 6, 2 Corinthians 6, you'll see that this whole thing of living out reverence and holiness to God, it's prefaced by the aspect, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers and all of the practices of lifestyles with people who are not going to help you to live this holy life. So we have to be careful about the people that we say are our friends. Not to say that we stop being friends with people, but we have to understand that whatever it is that their lifestyle and how they're living, if we've developed any kind of relationship, we have to consecrate ourselves from that particular practice and giving them, for lack of a better term, feeling like they're comfortable with us, because that's not, they shouldn't be. You gotta talk about this, huh?
No, everything you just said tonight, Shayna told me why tonight.
Excellent. Good job, girl.
But I was gonna ask a question.
Sure, ask your question.
What about things like, how do you do that when one of the closest relationships that you have is with a non-believer?
Okay, so because of, I know what you're talking about, the scripture says the husband is sanctified, set apart, because of the relationship of the wife and vice versa. What that means is this, God is giving him a grace that kind of supersedes, for lack of a better term, the norm of what we're talking about here.
Wait,
he's still as, huh?
Personally for me, my husband's a non-believer.
And she's married.
And I'm married to him. So, friends-wise, I don't really have a lot of friends. I apologize. My friends are really the people that I go to church with. I don't have friends outside of that. But that's one of the biggest struggles with me, because he is such a non-believer that I'm like, how do I always, and I've always struggled with this, and they've always been gracious to me and they pray for me and everything, but how do I keep myself sanctified when he's the closest relationship that I have?
And keep yourself sanctified by the word. Mm-hmm. And keep doing and living out the example, because at some given point, God will deal with him as he will be dealt with. Because everybody is accountable for the word that they know. So you are the living word walking around, and not when you don't respond like you used to, when you don't talk like you used to, when you're praying with your kids, you are being an example for him to have to make a decision. This life that she's living is not some religious thing that he's considering. It's something different, because he knew you before.
Yeah.
Holler at you. So he knows that something's different. And the enemy is trying to use him to get at you, but that's not God. Amen. Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Y'all not gonna let me finish this.
Well, I mean, you just opened it up. But I do have a question, because that's very interesting. So, if you're with a non-believer or friends with a non-believer, they're...
That's not being yoked.
Thanks. You didn't even let me get my question out.
So, does yoked mean only married? You can have a full time with someone that's not your husband.
Yoked means that you're partnered with to get something accomplished. So, it's not just marriage, but... Don't get into business dealings with people that you know are shady and shiesty.
Oh, I'm sorry.
don't go to school with, and you partner up with a person that you know cheats on tests.
Darn.
So let's not complicate what the Spirit of God is speaking of. We know that there are people who cannot... who do not help us to facilitate holy living. Mm-hmm. I have acquaintances that don't know the Lord. I'm not partnered with them. I don't hang out with them. I know them and they know me, and I'm cool with them. And hey, Pastor, I need you to come through, man. I'm struggling right now.
Okay? Can I say something about the yoke thing? Which someone helped me explained it to me what yoke meant, because I never knew until she told me. She was like, back in that time, yoked, they would take two oxen and they would put this thing around their neck, and if one went one way, the oxen had to follow wherever the other one went, because they were yoked together. So they couldn't divert from their path. They had to stay within each other. So when she told me that, I was like, oh, okay. And it was actually Mama Verda that explained it to me. But she was like, so now you know what yoke means. So wherever that one person goes, you go. That's why you want to stay with someone that's a believer, because they're going to keep you on that path. So anyone that can divert you or you have to follow so close with them, that's yoked. You don't want to be yoked with a non-believer.
I still have a question.
The wheel
doesn't
really
answer the question,
though. What's the
question?
Well, I just don't understand. Okay, so you're saying that, I'm just going to use your example. Your husband is sanctified because of you, but you're married to somebody. Like, your marriage is unequally yoked, right? If you're with somebody that's not a believer.
In the scriptural context, it says he's unequally yoked because he's an unbeliever. And it is very difficult because he's a male, and he's
the head,
and in his mindset and concept, regardless of church, he feels like, as a man, you do what I say. So as a woman, what does she do? What's she supposed to do in that situation? Does she leave him? You know what I'm saying? Her heart's desire is not to do that. Her heart's desire is that he get saved. So because of her heart's desire and God wanting to honor that, he is sanctified. He is set apart for her desire. Does that make sense?
Oh, okay. So if her desire is to, you know, that it reflects God, then it's okay.
It's not an issue of being okay. It's an issue of God not judging her because of a decision that was made before she got serious about him.
Oh, okay. That cleared it up. I like that explanation.
Like that explanation.
Yeah.
It's clear. Set in scripture.
Yeah.
We're clear now?
Yes.
Because, I mean, you know, there are people that have found themselves, they got married before they got saved, and somebody, you know, got serious about the things of God before another person, and, you know, because that person lived holy, another person came along. And or it just got to a point where the person who was not saved just made a decision to say, I ain't doing all of that. And if they chose to walk away, then that's you. The person that's married and trying to do the right thing is not responsible for that person walking away. Because the issue of God's word is either going to draw you or it's going to repel you. There's no in between that a lot of Christian and Christendom play. There's no in between. It's going to draw you or it's going to repel you. I want to fill in these blanks. Can we do that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So here's the truth. Blank number one. Let me see if there's some reason to make sure I'm right.
Catching up,
Paige. Yeah, I do. I'm not perfect yet. All right.
Because you're not dead, no.
Right. The word perfect means holy. We talked about that. And in its very basic form, based upon that scripture found in Matthew, it means to be holy. All right? To be made holy, are y'all with me?
Mm-hmm.
We must first set Christ apart as Lord in our hearts. However you want to write that. Set Christ apart as Lord in your hearts. To be made holy. To live the lifestyle. He must be Lord. We must also... Are y'all tracking?
Yeah.
We must also trust and obey the word. Trust and obey the word. Why do we say trust?
Trust that it's right?
Trust that God knows what he's talking about and doing because he's our designer.
Mm-hmm.
This is a pen. This is an example. This is a pen. What's the pen used for?
To write.
Right. That's what it's been created by the designer to do. But I'm going to say, no, it's not. It's designed to stab. That's what it's for.
To stab.
No, it's designed to write. So when I sanctify it, I'm trusting that what the designer made for it to do, that it's going to do. Right? Okay, question. So I go and I begin to use it for what it's designed to do, and it doesn't do what it's supposed to do. What am I doing with it?
Trashing it.
I'm throwing it away. Why?
It's no good.
It's
no use.
I'm being used for the purpose.
I can't use it for the purpose for which it was designed for. Mm-hmm. I have no use for it. I get rid of it. So I'm gonna say this to you from the aspect of going and reading it in John chapter 15 when he speaks about he is the vine, we are the branches, and branches that do not bear fruit. In other words, don't produce what you've been produced to do. If you don't do what you're supposed to do, the only thing that you're good for is for the fire and kindling. That's what the scripture says. If you choose not to do what I designed you to do, what good are you? That's Pastor Rich's translation. That's not God's heart, but that's what he's saying, basically. If I created you to be holy and you just refuse to do that, why are you here? All right, anyway. It is God the Father who ultimately sanctifies us by his Spirit in the name of Jesus. Y'all see that? Yeah, I already read that down. We already talked about that. It is God the Father who ultimately sanctifies us by his Spirit and in the name of Jesus. We're not going to get to this. This is part right here. It's just the meat of everything. Okay, let's fill in the blanks. I gotta give y'all this. If y'all give me 15 more minutes, because this will help us to understand the aspect of living holy. It's not just because God said it and he created us, but the issue of our purpose is really, it's a world changing dynamic. All right, so number one is the truth. Y'all there?
Mm-hmm.
All right. We are the pinnacle and focus of God's whole creation. So this, I'm going to be explaining this while we're going through these answers. We are the pinnacle and we are the focus of God's whole creation. In the beginning, after God had created everything, he said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness and let him have dominion. I'm going to put a dot, dot, dot there. The whole premise of when he created male and female, Adam and Eve and the spirit, he created them and gave them bodies and placed them on planet Earth. So now these spirit beings who are in these flesh bodies to have dominion on this planet, living holy, living in what God designed them to do. What did he design them to do? Have dominion. Guess what? When Jesus came and he did what he did in redeeming us back and buying us back, he brought us back to live holy for the purpose of reestablishing us having dominion on this fallen planet to reconcile people to himself. Are y'all tracking? Our dominion now is not about this planet because things are going to change for this planet, but Jesus, the Lord, our God, and the Father and the Holy Spirit wants his people back. And those that he has given this now life to live holy is so that we not only set an example, but that we are driven for the third thing that we're here to do is love our neighbor as we love ourselves. I love myself enough to live as God created me to be, and I should love this person who's not doing it the same way. I should love you enough to at least tell you the truth about the way that you're living and what you're doing is out of order, God's order, and how he wants you to have dominion over yourself, this earth now, and over the various things that you say you don't have any control over. I've given you control over it. I don't give you control over people, but I give you control over self by my Spirit. Where you declare and you say, not what you say, but you say what I say. And if I said it, it's so. Are y'all tracking?
Mm-hmm.
Number two, we are made to be holy, which we do by faith and obedience. Faith and obedience. We are made to be holy. We are made to be holy. We're designed to be holy. We're designed to do what God has created us to do. and purpose. Whatever that dynamic is based upon the giftings and talents and thoughts and all of the other stuff that you can name off in terms of your skills or whatever. And then it's superimposed by the Holy Spirit to say the thing that you are unable to do, through Christ, you can do all things. Through Christ. So Shannon, when you talk about this aspect of taking over the fashion industry world or whatever, if you may have a vision on how that it might go and it should be, but God may have a whole different plan. But as long as you have that passion and desire, it might be small to certain people, but the influence that you'll have on the handful of people that you run into and encounter, you have no idea the level of influence that you're having in the fashion world, and you may not even know it. You may not even know the things that you're doing for people who you're making up, makeup or clothing or whatever, what they will do. Your taking over may not even be through your hands directly. You don't know what God will do, but you have that passion and desire in your heart. You just got to let God bring out the fruition of it, because he's the one who sanctified you for it to begin with. Amen. Number three, God's indwelling presence. His indwelling presence is responsible for the manifestation of his attributes, moral character, in us. The issue of being holy, we're talking about his attributes. I created them in my image and in my likeness. I am in my image. The image of God is spirit. The likeness of God is holiness. Are y'all tracking? I know we've heard a lot of different things about the image and likeness. The bottom line is, in his image, God is spirit. We are spirit. His likeness, his character, his moral character is that of holiness. I am who I am. God says, now be who you are based upon how I created you. Don't be nobody else. Don't try to be anybody else. Don't try to fit in and do what other people are doing, because that's the thing that women should do or men should do. Do what I told you to do. Be the man that I created you to be. I have dreams, I have visions, yeah? Where do you think you got those from? I don't even know how I'm going to manifest it. That's good. Let me be God. Let me do God, and you do you. Amen. Sanctification, always. Get that? Always. Always requires God's presence. We're not left to ourselves to just try to figure it out on our own. He's given us his spirit. I'm going to leave for you a helper. John chapter 14. Counselor. This individual who will not only convict the world of sin, but he will remind you of everything that I have told you. Jesus specifically speaking to his disciples, but speaking to us as his disciples today as we read his word. Everything that he has said, the Spirit will remind us, in this lifestyle that you are to live, you've read and you've encountered in my word how you should be. Let me bring that back to your remembrance, because now you're struggling with something that you're desiring to do, but it's not lining up with who you are. And we get a choice. We either accept it or reject it. And if we reject it, God is not like, you suck. As some people make us feel. Come on, y'all. We didn't have that in churches because you didn't, your skirt wasn't the right height or whatever. Or you've got too much makeup on. You're not holy. It's not about do's and don'ts. It's about wills and won'ts. I will to do what God wants me to do. So, you know what? I won't do that. Because God has said in my heart, he says, just don't do that. I don't want you to do that. I don't want you to be like that. Lord, I got a tattoo. Am I going to hell? Why would you say that? Why would you think that? Well, in scripture he says don't put markings on your body and do it. Yeah. Remember the times, remember the story, remember the context, remember that. And when you got your tattoo, well, I got it. Lord, I got it when I was saved. Okay, what were you thinking when you got it? I wasn't really thinking. Okay, well, I hold you accountable for what you know. What do you know now? I'm feeling a little guilty about it, though. What are you going to do about it? I don't know. You see, you're having a conversation with the Lord, and he'll direct you, and he will show you, and he will tell you. So when people look at you, they're like, oh my God, look at him, he's tattooed all over him and all his nose. Oh my God, you are not a Christian.
So funny.
You shut it down, not having to be indignant, but just understanding, I know what my designer has designed in me. And I'm not walking condemned because I'm in Christ and I'm being led by the Spirit each day to the best of my ability. Do I fall short? Do I miss God? Yeah. Man, when I got that tat, I wasn't thinking anything, Lord. Okay. Keep it moving. Because you don't go to hell because you got tattoos.
Yeah.
You have to understand that. I'm just saying, there's so many different things out there that people are trying to qualify as holiness, and you're missing the point. It's about how God designed you and the conversation of relationship. I have no tattoos, but I had earrings. I was in the church with an earring, and God knows.
Oh, yeah.
I caught hell for it. I caught hell for it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And various things, it's just like
all
that.
My children.
Okay, I don't get this. Excommunicated from church because, you know, you just don't fit the image. And you talk to God lately about my image?
What did he say to you?
I'm just saying. I mean, that's the conversation. But again, it's not for us to be indignant because sometimes we just did things out of ignorance. And now that we know better, we make better choices based upon God's word. I just don't feel anything. I'm going to get a tat. I don't feel anything about it, Pastor. Okay. You spend time with the Lord and you look in the Word. And you got to a place in the Spirit leading you to be at peace. Not whether you should or shouldn't, but you're at peace. Then be at peace and keep it moving. Just represent Christ to why the guy is sticking you with that needle. Jesus! Why do you keep saying Jesus? I don't know. Just, anyway, let's keep going. All right, so I said sanctification always requires God's presence. It is His, watch this, dynamic presence producing fruit for which He alone is the source. So when we talk about the aspect of Him producing fruit, it is His dynamic presence producing fruit. Because He is divine and we are the
branches.
Apart from me, you can do
nothing.
Y'all know the word. So this aspect of living holy, I can't do it without God. I can't do it. Right? We can't do it without God. We can't do it without the presence of God. When I say dynamic, it's dynamic means that there's energy, there's motion going on here. It's not stagnant. It's not still. There's action. There's thoughts. There's decisions. By His presence being with me to say, go this way. Stop. Talk to that person. Today I had the experience driving here after we came from the church. I don't know which way you went, but I went across Collins, and before I went across the bridge of Collins, there's this guy right there, asking for money or whatever. He's just sitting there with a sign, and just out of the blue, God said, "Give him some money." What? Just out of the blue, and I see this guy. The Lord knows me. This is like that dude ain't getting no money. He got two legs and two arms, and I counted his fingers. I did. That's just me and my personality. I'm from New York. It's like, you know, people jumping on your window, cleaning your windows. I've been through it all. But just out of the blue, just the Spirit of God said, give me money. And I was like, okay. Open up the window, light turned green, and I stuck my hand out. He immediately jumped up and he said, God bless you, brother. You don't know. I kept it moving. I don't know what that meant. But God said, do that. No judgment, because I know me. There was no thought. There was no, you know what? No, it was just like, okay. Because this is so random as far as God saying something. I knew I heard Him. It just wasn't me. I'm going to do this. I don't know what this man will experience tonight and what that money will represent for him. I don't know. God said do it. Doesn't even matter. And there's so much that God wants us to do in terms of dominion and us representing Him in our lifestyle that we just, you run into, you had a story like that before. Miss Tracy does this all the time. It's just like, you know, Lord, I want to grow up and be like her.
Yeah.
You know, we had went to see a play. and this older couple, they were there celebrating the lady's birthday. And for some strange reason, the husband's credit card didn't just, it just kept declining. And so he went to the car to go get another card. And when he went to we step up, and Ms. Tracy's like, what you doing? Before she even said anything, but I know my wife, so it's just like, I'm paying for it. And the lady was like, okay, well, let me introduce you. And Ms. Tracy's like, no, don't.
Yeah.
When he comes back, just let him know it's been taken care of. Mm-hmm. So we went and we sat and whatever, and it's like, I just don't know. What God will do, how he will lead you to do things. All right, last one, right? Mm-hmm. It is spiritual and word-driven rather than experiential, than an experiential reality. It's spiritual. This whole issue of being sanctified and living holy is spiritual and word-driven. It's about what God's word says and being led by the Spirit of God than just the aspect of I feel. Sometimes your feelings, like this situation with this guy, I could have said, you know, I don't feel that. I don't feel like doing that. If this guy had all this energy to sit there all day, he had enough energy to go to McDonald's, at least fill up. I could have been doing a whole bunch of that thinking and reasoning and talking myself out of not doing what the Spirit said to do. Could have done that, but I'm not designed for that. I'm designed to listen to what the Spirit says to do and to do it. That's living holy. It is experienced, I put that in quotes, by faith. God, I trust you to do whatever it is that's supposed to happen with that money that I gave that dude, whatever it is supposed to be. Not by my feelings. Amen.
For more information on the teaching ministry of Pastor Rich Martin and Life Community Church, please call us at 817-468-9215 or visit us on the web at www.mylifemycommunity.org.